Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here. 720 WGN. Two for Tuesday. Yeah, man, two for Tuesday. Paxton is first in. One artist, two songs. Picking a great band, World Party, that Ship of Fools. Great band. Whatever happened to World Party? Wonder if they're still around. Maybe they can tour with Saga. I don't know. All right. Hey, Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN 2 for Tuesday. Get your requests in 312-981-7200. We are going to have another battle with the celebrity name game. That's coming up. But I wanted to talk about businesses and restaurants and bars and places that we used to love that are now gone. We're going to reminisce here and get all nostalgic in and around the Chicago area, where some of your favorite places that aren't around anymore. And the reason I thought this would be, because it's always fun to reminisce and talk about this city, you know, that we all love and that many of us have lived in. You know, I've lived here my whole life, and there are so many places that have gone by the wayside and you know, things that aren't around anymore that we miss. And I love talking about that kind of stuff and talking about the stories that that are connected to that. But the reason why I got all nostalgic is because there's a piece in the Tribune a couple of days ago. And the headline is, "Through Nostalgia or Necessity, Hand-Painted Signs Have Persisted in Chicago." Dan Camba and Chuck Wilmarth are debating how to spell Oscar Mayer Wiener. "The I should be before the E," says Camba, co-owner of Southwest Signs in the Clearing neighborhood. But Wilmarth, other co-owner and Camba's brother-in-law, wants to be sure. Brush in hand and bent over a 4x8-foot sign advertising the hot dogs, he has to be sure. "There are no erasers. In the hand-painted sign business, each mistake is lost money and sometimes, more importantly, lost time. As the grocery stores and food stands that once relied heavily on the signs for their daily deals have turned to printed signs, businesses that specialize in the craft have shuttered or been forced to diversify. Sprinkled throughout Chicago, though, the art persists, through nostalgia or necessity. The hand-painted signs, written cleanly but quickly on bright paper and hung briefly in windows of the city's hot dog stands, fish shops, and grocery stores. Inexpensive signs that can be a lifeblood for a small independent shop, and they rely on these advertisements. Even a little mom-and-pop store that doesn't make any money can still advertise," says Carol Combo, who's the front desk manager at Southwest Signs. "And sometimes that little sign will pay for itself 10 times over." Carol Combo has just returned from her computer to settle the Oscar Mayer Wiener debate, and her husband Dan was right, I before E. And the sign reads, "Oscar Mayer Wiener's original or turkey, 14 to 16 ounce, 4 for $5. And that deal won't last long. Stores order a sign a day or two before the sale as advertising begins. They all wait till the last minute to order the signs because they're all trying to beat each other's prices," Dan Camba says. "Sometimes they'll fork out another $30 or $40 for a new sign just to make it 1 cent less. So the sign painters are sworn to secrecy to assure that none of their clients' competitors catch wind of a sale, and they must work fast. Withmark is used to the speed. He paints the big block, bold block letters and numbers with a style he learned as a teenager from the shop's previous owner. It's known as Chicago style. Wilmarth says it's a distinctive purplish-blue, bright red, or chartreuse, or chrome yellow, and customers around the country have requested it. With red and purple paint in hands on their pads as his fingers, he paints one sign after another, one for strawberries, one for lettuce, talking while he works and not missing a stroke. When the car is driving down the street at 30 miles per hour, my wife wants to know what's on sale. So we try to think about the layout of the signs and have the keywords pop and the price pop. Grocery stores want knee-jerk reaction. The paper signs start at less than $10 and go up from there, depending on the size and how much the customer wants on it. Today, hand-painted signs comprise about 20% of the shop's business. They're called knockout signs. This is Chez Perry, says lead painter and mural artist at Right Way Signs, as he paints three paper advertisements at once for the Fish Keg in West Rogers Park. Boy, we just talked about the Fish Keg the other day. Much of his career, Perry owned a sign painting shop in Evanston. In the 80s and 90s, before the computer took over, the hand-painted signs were prevalent. He'd spend 12 hours a day each week painting paper signs for grocery stores. Typically, he said, the stores would call in their sign orders on a Wednesday. He'd paint them on Thursday and deliver them on Friday. Now the stuff is just filler, I guess you could say. The sign shop, which is based in Chicago's Logan Square community area, did about $1.3 million of revenue in 2016. Small signs and grocery store signs made up 10 to 15% of that. So His portfolio exterior signage for Goose Island Beer Company, a mural work at Wrigley Field, and signs rising above the Lincoln Park area on Hotel Lincoln. The Fish Keg has been using Perry's hand-painted signs since he owned his Evanston shop. He also paints the menu signs and has done murals on the wall. So this got me to thinking that this is a, you know, it's a very big, it's a Chicago thing. And of course that's like Chicago style, but those signs were everywhere. You know, in major grocery stores, like in, you know, not just mom and pop stores, but Jewel had him. You know, there was a time when you would change them out on the windows. And there's something really nostalgic and really cool about them. And you still see them everywhere. You know, Esmeralda, I lived in your neighborhood for a few years. You live in Albany Park. And I lived there for a few years. And there are a lot of sort of like independent, you know, mom-and-pop grocery stores and, you know, smaller shops. They're everywhere in that neighborhood, those hand-painted signs. I think they look cool. It just reminds me of, like, youth.
Yeah, for sure. They're still, and I've they're still up.
Yeah.
I've still seen most of the supermarkets have those signs.
Yeah. Yeah. The one that I used to go to was at St. Louis and Lawrence. It was at St. Louis and Lawrence. That's the grocery store that we used to go to. There's walking distance from where we lived. And all the entire windows were plastered with them. Like you couldn't even see inside the store. It was just all these hand painted paper signs that were plastered all over the windows. It's nice to see that art form still exists. It's really, I just love the way that looks. It just gives it a very sort of real neighborhood kind of vibe and feel to it, you know. But they don't exist that much anymore. And it's nice to see that there's a few places that are still doing it, and that they're arguing over how to spell wiener. So. Dan, what about this? Does this bring back memories for you? Like these?
Yeah, you know, the one that always stuck out to me are these signs. Obviously, are iconic, and you know, I've seen them everywhere and things like that. The ones that always struck me are the ones on the Golden Nuggets that are drawn directly onto the window.
Oh yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Because those change with the seasons, and they, you know, like this are advertising various sales and things like that.
Yeah.
And I just, you know, I've never seen it done, but you know, you just imagine some very talented person at 3:45 in the morning is out there on Irving Park, you know,
yeah,
just making these decorations. And
you can still see them. There, a lot of those places, like Golden, like you mentioned, Golden Nugget uses that.
Right.
There's a Golden Nugget right by my apartment. And they have the painted on, you know, specials and prices. And businesses like that also do it, like, at Christmas time. They'll paint, like, Santas and all kinds of stuff directly onto their windows.
Right.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. I always love that. Yeah. You know, in a sense, we all live very close to a Golden Nugget, but you know,
of course we all.
but you know, when I used to live off of Irving Park, you would hit two or three in a couple mile stretch.
Yeah.
And I always enjoyed seeing them. You know, that was one of those signs of Christmas for me whenever I saw those decorations go up.
You know, what's kind of sad right now. We all, at some point, have gone to the infamous Diner Grill on Irving. Obviously, it's a lot of Irving talk here on Irving Park. And, you know, there was a fire this last Christmas time, and it's still closed. The Diner Grill is still closed. But the sad thing is when you see it, it's boarded up, but the windows still have the Santa stuff painted on it. It's so sad. It's like, not only is the Diner Grill not open, that the fire kind of wiped them out, and there's boards in the window, but it happened around Christmas, and you're forever going to be reminded of that. I just drove past there not too long ago, and I looked, and I was like, God, it's so depressing. Like, the great Diner Grill is closed, and we'll always know that it closed at Christmas time because there's the painted Santa and the snowmen, and it says Feliz Navidad and Merry Christmas. It's just... That's a very sad thing. I almost took a picture of it, but I was too sad. I was on my way. I was on my way to the music box for the Chicago Critics Film Fest. I was going down Irving, and I was like, because I didn't know whether the Diner Grill had reopened. They said it was going to reopen. I mean, this was 6 months ago, so you know, almost 7 months, and it still hasn't reopened. Not that I go there anymore because I don't drink anymore. But, you know, people are missing their slingers, man. So, and that takes us into what some of the other stuff we're going to talk about. The Diner Grill is a great example of what we're talking about. Gone but not forgotten is what we're talking about. Great places, restaurants, bars, businesses, places in the neighborhoods in and around Chicago. Some of your favorite places that held so many great memories for you. Maybe a lot of these places had the painted on advertising or the painted signs, you know. So we're going to get nostalgic. What are you missing? What places? We've got a list here of some of places that are gone but not forgotten. 312-981-7200. We like to talk about this kind of stuff every once in a while, reminiscing about this great city and what used to be. So gone but not forgotten in and around Chicago. 312-981-7200 for talk and text. And this piece, if you want to read the entire piece about the hand-painted sign business, I just think it's wonderful and that people are still doing it. And it adds a nice flavor to neighborhood stores and stuff like that. It's on the Tribune website. Can we put it up on our page. So if you want to read the entire article, facebook.com/NickDShow. And in the meantime, call us or text us, 312-981-7200. Gone but not forgotten, Chicago businesses that we miss. 312-981-7200. All right. Hi, everybody. Welcome back. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. I'm your overnight dude. We're here till 5 a.m. Steve Grzanich with the opening bell at 5 and the great Steve Cochran at 6 for your morning drive. Our text and phone number is 312-981-7200, and that was Paxton's second 2 for Tuesday World Party and their song World Party from the album World Party. There's another one. We can add that to the list. So 312-981-7200 for talk and text and 2 for Tuesday requests. We're talking about Gone But Not Forgotten. Great article that's on our Facebook page about these, you know, places that still do the old-fashioned paper hand-painted signs that they stick in grocery store windows. And we were talking about, you know, the holiday decorations and the signs that are painted directly on glass, at, like Golden Nuggets and things like that. And that got us to thinking about reminiscing about this city and some of the places that we miss. So I've got some places here that are under the categories of Chicago restaurants and cafes. Chicago stores. We've also got Chicago bars as well. And an extra thing that we can get to in a little bit, Chicago theater companies, of which I knew many of the ones that are on this list. So but that's what we're going to get to here. Let's take a couple of quick calls. Here's Steve from Galesburg on WGN. Hey, Steve.
Hey, Demon Dogs. It was right under the Fullerton platform right by DePaul.
Yep. I loved Demon Dogs. I would go there all the time. Oh. For people who weren't who don't know, it was a hot dog stand located right underneath the Fullerton L track stop. Obviously that's right by DePaul. And so that's why it's called it was called Demon Dogs after the Blue Demons. And I loved that place. I really did. Sometimes I would get off the train at Fullerton if I didn't have to, just so I could go to Demon Dogs. So
it was great. And I'd bring buddies from downstate, and they'd throw ketchup packets at them.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, great place.
By the way, there's still a place called Castle Liquor. It's up on Thorndale, right off Broadway. And they still have the hand-painted signs.
They do. Okay. A lot of places do. Yeah. Maybe if, and by the way, if during the course of this conversation, if you guys want to you know, shoot us a text or call us, what are some of the other places that still do the hand-painted signs and still keep that tradition going? 312-981-7200. Steve, thanks for the call.
All right.
Take care. Here's Donna on WGN. Hi, Donna.
Hi, Nick.
Hi.
Two bakeries in the western suburbs, Finger Hut Bakery and Dressel Cakes, which I've never been able to find anywhere else, the chocolate and the whipped cream. Mm-hmm. They were delightful cakes, and we used to buy them for birthdays because nobody could make them any bit as good.
And how long have they been gone, Donna?
Oh, gosh, we're talking the 60s.
Oh, boy. Okay, so for a long time then. Wow. Okay.
Yep.
All right. You still can't find it. It's been 50 years, and you still can't find a replacement for those cakes.
No, well, they were frozen,
yeah.
And that was part of the joy, trying to find a chocolate cake with frozen whipped cream in between,
mm-hmm.
and then chocolate frosting on top.
Yeah,
that when you thawed it out, the whipped cream wasn't wet or yucky, and the frosting was still delightfully good.
All right,
good. Cool.
Okay, Donna, thanks for the call.
Thank you.
Bye. 312-981-7200. Esmeralda, any places that you used to go to that you miss? Is there any places in J-Town?
Oh, not in J-Town.
No.
Not that I remember.
All right.
There's not much to be fond of there.
But some hometown pride for you.
Yeah. But there is, I remember I forget when it closed, but Zephyr.
Oh, yeah, on Wilson. Mm-hmm. Wilson and Ravenswood.
Some great ice cream concoctions.
That place was fantastic. One of my best friends was a waiter there. We used to go there all the time. That was Zephyr's, great ice cream place. It's now one of those terrible imitation Irish pubs.
Yeah, it's kind of lame in there.
Oh, my God. So when did Zephyr's close? What, in the 90s maybe?
No, because I've only been here beginning in 2001.
Oh, okay, so it's in the 2000s then.
I would say 2005, maybe 5 or 6.
Okay. All right.
Maybe.
Because I went to that. I made the mistake of going. What is it called? O'Shaughnessy's Hut?
I think so.
It's terrible. One of those terrible not Irish pubs. One of those quote unquote Irish pubs, you know, and I'm using air quotes when I say Irish. Terrible, man. Yeah. Yeah. I loved Zephyr. I thought that place was great. Really, really cool. Dan, anything pop out for you in the city that you...
Being a child of the North Side, yep. When Baker Square had closed down and we were hungry, we would often frequent the now-closed Blue Angel.
It's at Milwaukee Central
and Foster. Right,
oh my
right.
God!
You know, you had accomplished a good evening if you were sitting in the back of the restaurant because they had closed the front because yep. It was nighttime and there wasn't a lot of people there. But many, many memories ordering a plate of fries with ranch and recounting all the stuff we had done in the hours prior and trying to...
You and me both, Dan. Did you go there when you lost your pants at Teasers?
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
So. Also, a quick shout out to Sally's, which is closed, but we'll be reopening under a new...
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Oh, it's reopening?
It's reopening. Not as Sally's, but as something else. But
it's the same people, though.
Yeah, I don't know if it's the same people, but it's going... The building will be in operation,
okay.
At least. It's
right.
Going to be a restaurant.
Sally's been closed for a long time.
Yeah, I think a year and a half.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
That's very... You live right there.
I do. Very close by.
That's very close.
And
that's very cool.
Ellie's took over for Blue Angels, and that's a nice place, too.
Oh, yeah. Ellie's is a pancake... Ellie's Pancake House.
Yeah.
Because we pass there when my folks and I go... Because we go to the movies at the Village Crossing in Skokie, and we end up taking Milwaukee to Central and then Central down. And every time we pass there, I always miss the Blue Angel. Blue Angel was the best, man. I went there... I can't tell you the number of times we went to the Blue Angel. I mean, I lived at Foster and Cumberland for a long time, and you know, for a few years, and that was our place.
Right.
And Franchisees, best Franchisees ever. I always tell the story about when I was talking about Franchisees on the air. And have you ever had a Franchisee, Esmeralda?
I have not. No.
You know what it is?
No.
It's a hot dog. Okay, that's grilled, split down the middle with cheddar cheese, and then it's wrapped in bacon.
No.
That's a Franchisee.
That's nice.
Oh, it's the best thing ever. And we were talking about it in the air one night a bunch of years ago, and my old producer, Andy Herman, and our old news woman, Paula Cooper, they didn't know what Franchisees were. They'd never had one. They didn't know what a Franchisee was. And then I explained what it was, and my good friend Dmitry Samarov, who was driving a cab at the time, went to the Blue Angel, got us some Franchisees and brought them down to the station. And they had their first Franchisee that night, directly from the place to get your Franchisee, which was the Blue Angel. So, all right, we got a break. The news is coming up next.
Ain't no sunshine when she's gone. And this house just ain't no home. Anytime she goes away.
What is Kay Powell up?
Anytime she goes away.
All right. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN, 2 for Tuesday. Yeah, 2 for Tuesday, man. Yeah. Get your requests in. One artist, two songs. 312-981-7200. 815 area code requesting some Bill Withers. Ain't no sunshine. It's Nick DiGilio. How are you, everybody? We're talking about Gone But Not Forgotten. Some of the categories include restaurants and cafes, stores, bars, and any businesses that you want to reminisce about. We've been talking about some of our places that are closed. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. Here's Patrick on WGN. Hey, Patrick.
Hey, Nick. How you doing, my man?
All right.
Hey, man, never enough time to go over every single place in Chicago that's just not with us anymore. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So many places have gone by the wayside. I was telling Dan about, now, is the original Byron's still over on Irving and Sheridan?
Well, they had a fire at Byron.
That's what Dan was saying. He did say that. He mentioned that, yeah.
They had a fire a couple, was it a couple months ago, Dan? That they had a fire there? I know that the one on Lawrence and Ashland is still there.
Oh, it is?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Lawrence and Ashland.
Yeah, I haven't been up there in so long. I don't know. I know they used to have one on Halsted, too, near Chicago.
Yeah. I think that one. No, you know what? I don't know if that one's there anymore either. But I know that the one on Lawrence near Ashland is. And I don't know what happened with the one on Irving after the fire was reported. We were on the air when it was happening.
It just says temporarily closed.
Temporarily closed. Okay. Set another fire. Yeah.
And that, the one on Irving, that's the original, if I'm not mistaken. That's the original.
That is.
Wow.
Yeah, that is. Yeah.
Another place I sat, remember USA Rainbow, the roller rink on Clark and Lawrence?
Yep.
Yeah, that was, well, I mean, I had family that worked there. My cousin used to DJ there. My late brother-in-law, he was a manager and he DJed there, and his sister gave out skates.
Mm-hmm.
So when I was 14, 15, I was always at that joint.
Yep.
So that was a good place to hang out. And I was thinking about Thurston's. I don't know if you remember Thurston's across the street from the Elbow Room.
Of course.
Yeah, yeah. I worked the door there, and I seen some cool bands there. Yeah. I missed that place.
Yeah, that was and Muskies was right across the street. Is Muskies still there? That Muskies?
Well,
that's on Link.
Muskies is there anymore. I think, and there was also a Geno's East not too far from there.
Yeah, that's right. And but I just remember that was on Lincoln. And
right.
And then the Muskies at Belmont and Sheffield closed as well. Because there was
right.
a Muskies right next to the Vic at Belmont and Sheffield. That was another one of those late night places that you go to at 3 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah. As well as, didn't they move Wicker Dub? Because it was on the corner of the Flatiron Building. Didn't they close it and move it to a new location?
I don't know. I don't know. But Wicker Dog was good. That's a classic place.
Oh, God, I'd go there and get a combo sandwich at 3 in the morning.
Yeah.
Line be out the door.
Out the door.
Fries. My God, those fries.
Yeah.
I'd kill for those fries right now.
Yeah. Yeah, great stuff.
A quick story about Thurston's. I don't know if you're a Godsmack fan or not, but I used to work the door there, and I was there. Godsmack played there before their first album came out.
Wow.
Right before their first album dropped. And the only two people that were actually there checking out the show for myself and the guy that worked in the kitchen, and we were only two in the mosh pit. So there was nobody that came out that night. It was a Saturday night, and it was Godsmack and another band. I think some band from Sweden called Psycore. I mean, Godsmack ruled, but there was just nobody came.
Nobody
to
was
see
there.
Him.
Nobody was there. That's amazing.
Nobody was there.
Yeah. All right, Patrick. Thanks, man.
For the first album. All right, man. Take care.
There you go. All right. We got some texts coming in. Ryan in Mount Prospect says, I love the painted sign talking and the painted windows for Christmas and other holidays. You knew you made it when you worked at Jewel and got your own painted sign with your years of service in the window. Acknowledging your years of service. 312 says, back in the early 90s, there was a restaurant called Bub City. Yep. I knew Bub City. It was on Weed Street long before Joe's or anything else was ever in the area. In fact, North Avenue and Kingsbury used to be a notorious stroll. It was the place had great barbecue, great frozen drinks, and Zydeco music. Yeah, Bub City was in that area. Is the OTB still there?
Yes.
Is it?
It's in the Joe's now.
Oh, it is?
They're kind of like smooshed together. Yeah. I have a friend who I think he still works there.
Yeah. And then there's
that. Sad as ever.
There's the VIP strip joint.
That is still there.
That's
too,
still there?
Up
yeah.
on. Kingsbury?
It's Kingsbury. It's in that area, yeah.
It's across the street from a Whole Foods.
No, is it really?
Yeah. And then to the left of VIPs is Improv Olympic.
Wow, okay.
So it's kind of a weird thing.
I haven't
VIPs
been to
is
I
right
went
there.
To VIPs for we were I directed a show called Top Shelf and it was about a strip club. And I went, you know, just for research, We went to VIP with a lot of the girls from the cast, the girls who were playing strippers, and they actually were like, you know, we were there like hanging out and watching them dance and stuff, and then you know, they were asking a lot of the girls questions and stuff. So it was actually research, even though there were like half naked women running around, because you can't be naked there, I don't think, because they serve booze. Or at least that's what I remember.
Yeah, you got to wear pasties.
Right. So, how about 630 area code says China Club and Shelter. Yeah, man, yeah! Right down there. That was the nightclub district, man. We're going to go to Shelter and then maybe stop by China Club. Yeah. China Club's where I met Gary Busey. That's where I met Gary Busey, China Club. China Club is also where Joe, my friend Joe, hey, listen, got his drink spilled when a drunk Oliver Stone bumped into him. So that was, you know that story, right, Esmeralda?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, Heaven and Earth was a real treat, he says to Oliver Stone. Still one of my favorite. Oliver Stone's drunk. They were in town filming Natural Born Killers, and my friend Joe, one of my best buddies who passed away some years ago, he was in there, and, you know, he was probably talking to the bar. Hey, listen, this guy in the DJ booth sucks. I should go up there and just start mixing, because this guy doesn't know how to keep the party going. He sucks. So he's, like, talking, and all of a sudden somebody bumps into him and spills his drink all over him. He turns around. It's Oliver Stone, who's bombed. And he goes, hey, hey, you know, I think you should buy me another drink. Oliver Stone, you know, and Oliver Stone goes, F you, I'm not going to buy you a drink. Oh, and he starts to walk away. And Joe goes, hey, listen, Heaven and Earth was a real treat. And then Oliver Stone turned around to go after him. And Woody Harrelson came in and grabbed him and pulled him away from going after my friend Joe. But the choice that the choice of Heaven and Earth is so genius that my friend chose that movie to insult Oliver Stone with is just absolute. That was the genius of Joe. Oh, yeah, Heaven and Earth was a real treat. Oh, man. Yeah, China Club and Shelter, man. Yeah. You couldn't go out partying in the 80s and early 90s without going to Shelter and China Club, man. Esmeralda, you were too young. You missed the Shelter and China Club days.
I did.
Jeez. Come back in Melrose Park. Marshall Field. We all miss Marshall Field. Another texter says, I also miss Zephyr. 779 area code wants to let one of our listeners know that Wolf's Bakery in Evergreen Park still has Dressel's cakes made with the exact recipe. Collective Soul Bill says, I just passed Angelo's Foods in Downers Grove, and they have the hand-painted signs. Also, my wife was a waitress at Sally's in the early 90s and worked the overnights. Oh. In the early 90s, I bet she waited on me at some point. So, there you go. And then finally, the Silver Cup at Higgins and Nagel and Foster. Oh, I remember the Silver Cup. Yeah. Well, a lot of Northwest Side people busting out this morning. All right, let's take a break. When we come back, I've got some restaurants here that have closed down, and some stores and some bars, and we'll get to all that. And when your thoughts as well. 312-981-7200.
Until you use me up.
Oh yeah. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here. Two for Tuesday.
Yeah.
312-981-7200 for your request. One artist, two songs. This is the second Bill Withers song for Two for Tuesday. That's Use Me. 312-981-7200 for talk and text with your thoughts on gone but not forgotten, you know, Chicago businesses and restaurants and bars and places that we used to love and go to and aren't around anymore. So we're doing a little reminiscing this morning. And we were also talking about there's still a few places that hang the hand-painted signs with prices and stuff and in their windows, and we're talking all about that as well. So, excuse me. Well, jeez. All right. I was doing my Doc. That was my Doc Holliday imitation.
That was perfect timing too, because everybody that could have saved you had walked away. From
everybody
their
was gone. Yeah. Everybody was gone. All right. 708 area code says that all muskies are gone. Oh, I used to like muskies. Dan, you ever go to a muskies?
Never had.
Yeah, just late night burger hot dog place. Located near bars. That was just one of those things. Now, you can imagine what it was like, Dan, at the corner of Belmont and Sheffield.
Oh, God.
That was it. It was located right next to the Vic. There used to be a rock club on the second floor of that. You know the building I'm talking about, Dan? It's a bank now on the corner.
Okay.
On the very corner is a bank. And above it is a hair salon now. But that used to be a rock club called Avalon.
Ooh.
Yeah, man, let's go to Avalon. Used to be you have to climb up the stairs. It was on the second floor, Avalon. And I had friends who were in bands and stuff. They'd play Avalon all the time, and then afterwards we'd go down to Muskie's. It was just what you did. So, all right. How about this one on this list I have? Banquet on a Bun. You guys don't remember Banquet on a Bun. Esmeralda, you don't remember. You're too young. You weren't even born. I don't even think. Yeah. Because there's a time when you would go like to Rush Street, to all the discos on Rush Street. You go to places.
Oh, I remember going to the discos.
Oh, yeah. No, you would go to like places like Faces. Yeah, man, we're going to go to Faces. This would be a lot of these places that we're talking about in that area would be on the Starbeat dictaphone. The Starbeat presents what's happening. These are the kind of places that back then. Starbeat presents what's happening. That's, you know.
Presents here. What's happening.
Sunday, September 18th. Sundancers, Route 53, 1 mile north of I-55 Bolingbrook, host the English Leather Bikini Calendar Girl Contest semifinals on Tuesday, September 13th, plus the grand finals on Saturday, September 24th. The Virgo Birthday Party with free drinks and surprises for all those born under the sign, plus free food and cake for all on Thursday, September 15th at Jukebox Saturday Night, 5200 West 159th Oak Forest. At the Prime and Tender, 63rd in Harlem, all wet t-shirt spectacular every Tuesday, plus Saturday dollar drinks midnight till 2 a.m. at the Prime and Tender. Bright Side appears at the Vineyard, 75th and Cass, Darien, plus Intimate Apparel Fashion Shows every Monday and Thursday. At Eric's, 3300 West 111, check out the new stereo video system with 25-inch color monitors all over the club, projection TV, and incredible video sound shows. Now, 25-cent drinks from 8 p.m. to 2 a.m. Tuesdays at the Saints and Sinners, 9053 South Archer Willow Springs, with live bands Tuesday through Saturday. This is Steve Cronin. For more What's Happening information, call the Starbeat dictaphone at 948-8800.
You know, 25-cent drinks? Jeez. Oh, my God. At Saints and Sinners, could you imagine what that place is like at 2 o'clock in the morning? From 8 to 2 a.m., 25-cent drinks. Good God. So this place, Banquet on a Bun, Esmeralda, was located on Rush Street. And it was one of these, it was a greasy diner place. And it was where everybody who would go to the discos down on Rush Street, and that's where they'd go, Banquet on a Bun. It does have a distinction, though, Esmeralda, because it's featured in Risky Business.
Oh.
Yeah, when they do their little late night sex romp on the train, they stop at Banquet in the Bun. So it's forever captured on film, Banquet on a Bun. How about Cafe 28? You guys remember Cafe 28 on Irving, right at the Brown Line? It was at Ravenswood, right there. It closed in 2013. And it was a Cuban-Mexican restaurant, Cafe 28. It was a great place. Great place. That's closed. The Dog House, occupying a 6-by-12-foot trailer that was purchased for $1,100. The Dog House opened in 1963 on North Avenue in Villa Park, serving a simple menu of hot dogs, french fries, and tamales. Owner Dick Portillo changed the name to Portillo's in 1967, and ditched the trailer for a storefront, and the rest is history. Earwax. They closed Earwax? They closed in 2011. Before Wicker Park became Lincoln Park West, it was an edgy, angry enclave of irate hipsters wearing clunky boots and clunkier glasses. The epicenter was Earwax, a vegetarian cafe and sometimes decent art with decent art on the walls and perturbed art school students behind the counter. The cafe also featured movies for renting, but they were always like Fellini and David Lynch and Kurosawa. The gentrification and occasional rat sightings led to Earwax angrily closing its doors in 2011. Boy, I've been out of the loop. I didn't know that Earwax closed. Used to go to that place all the time whenever I hung out in Wicker Park. So I was always, you know how much I hung out in Wicker Park, Dan. There was a time when I was hanging out in Wicker Park. It was when I first started dating Heather. She lived in Wicker Park. So. And, of course, hot dogs. Hot dogs just closed. And so I saw somebody post something on Facebook, Dan, that from Wrigley, said that there was a girl in front. They were in line, a very, very long line for hot dogs, because you can get hot dogs at Wrigley now. I think there are two locations in Wrigley, one in the bleachers and then one in the main area, grandstands. And so he said that they waited in this long-ass line, because the lines are ridiculously long for hot dogs at Wrigley. So they get up to the girl in front of them, gets up to the counter. All she wanted was a regular hot dog with ketchup. She waited like 45 minutes in line, missed like 2.5 innings of the ball game, and wanted just a regular hot dog with ketchup.
Which, by the way, Hot Dog is living his best life right now. Because, one, he's not slaving away at his hot dog restaurant.
Yeah.
He is just having, like, the best time. Anytime, yeah. He's always hanging out with a guy from Peace.
Yep.
The guy who owns Peace Pizza.
Yep.
And he's always just, like, having a good time.
Yeah. And he's a great guy, man. Doug Stone's a great guy. I've had him on the show several times. And he was always behind the counter every single day. He took every order every single day.
You got to believe he's so happy not to be there. Yeah, I don't got to deal with all these dorks.
And he's still making dough.
Yeah. So
good for him. Great guy. All right, we got to take a break. And the news is coming up next. And then more Gone But Not Forgotten and a celebrity name game challenge. Yeah. Welcome back, everybody. How you doing? Nick DiGilio here. It's like Fly Jams Tuesday. What's going on? Two for Tuesday, yeah. G wanted to hear Brothers Johnson with a great song, Strawberry Letter 23. And it's Two for Tuesday, 312-981-7200. Coming up in a little bit after 4:30. Esmeralda and I will go head-to-head in another unbelievably violent edition of the Celebrity Name Game. Until then, we're talking about places that are gone but not forgotten. We'd love to hear from you, 312-981-7200. Here's Steve, the limo driver. Hi, Steve.
Hey, morning. How are you?
All right.
Hey, remember the Snuggery up there on Dexter?
Yep.
By Lutheran General Hospital, which at one time was called Doc Weeds, too. Yep. But there was a bunch of Snuggeries. And Mr. K's on Harlem. It was a 24-hour diner there by Harlem and Higgins.
Mm-hmm.
And Henry's Hamburgers.
Henry's.
Yeah, Henry's. I know. Last time you didn't remember them, but there was a bunch of them. It was like a franchise like McDonald's.
Yeah. Henry's. Yeah. Okay. All right. Thank you, Steve.
One minute. The thing about the Snuggery that I'll always remember was we were there, you know, and acting suave and trying to pick up beautiful young women and stuff. So I was talking to this nice young lady and gave her my business card, and I'm like, yeah, call me later. And my friend made it a point to show me the busboy sweeping up my business card off the floor.
There you go. That's how it works, man. That's how it works.
I was crushed. Yeah. I was crushed.
All right. All right, Steve, thanks.
Yeah, have a good one.
Yeah, man, the Snuggery. Yeah, man, let's go to the Snuggery. Yeah. here's Vito on WGN. Hi, Vito.
Hey, Nico, remember Bananas over at Foster and Broadway?
Foster and Broadway, Bananas.
There's a nightclub over there, and Fanning Cadillac used to be there. But you were just talking about the place on Irving Park. Remember the diner that used to be over there on Irving Park, too, by Irving and Ashland?
Oh, yeah, we were just talking about that, the Diner Grill.
Yeah, it's closed.
Yeah, it burnt. We were just talking about that. They had a fire right around Christmas. It was Christmas Eve. They had a fire.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right. And remember the old hot dog place in front of Wrigleyville? It was Byron's. Remember that?
Yeah.
Be able to go there.
Mm-hmm.
No more.
No more. All right. No All right. More. Thank you, Vito. 312-981-7200. All right. Here's some bars that are gone but not forgotten. You guys remember the Artful Dodger?
Sounds familiar.
Wicker Park. Or Bucktown, whatever you wanted to call it. You ever go there, Dan?
I had never did, no.
It was a cool place. They closed in 2005. How about, yeah, man, Biddy Mulligan's. Yeah, man, Biddy Mulligan's. Biddy Mulligan's was on was a seedy rock club on the northern reaches of Sheridan Road, just south of the cemetery, right before Evanston. This is you know where Biddy Mulligan's, Esmeralda, you know where the 400 Theater is?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's like there. That's where it was.
Okay.
Oh, my God, the Big Nasty. Oh, my God. Here's the deal. I know you guys are too young to have gone to the Big Nasty. One of the Lincoln Avenue, okay? I don't know what's there now. It's DePaul area. It's that whole stretch there of Lincoln Avenue near Armitage, you know, just south of Fullerton, that stretch. That stretch is ridiculous. I did this show called Alive, and we did a version of it at the Body Politic Theater, which was the Victory Gardens Theater, and that was located on Lincoln, right on Lincoln, south of Fullerton. And it was a nightmare because it was a late night show. We would do the show at 10 p.m. and we'd get out around midnight, or we'd do the show at 11 and get out around 1 or something like that. And there were people like falling in the street, bros vomiting everywhere. It was just ridiculous, that whole area. And there was a bar there, Esmeralda, called the Big Nasty. So here's what you would do. You'd go, and it was a total Linkin Park DePaul D-bag bar filled with morons. And, you know, and that's bad enough. And they would have very loud blasting music, nightclub sort of music. But here was what, it was a two-floor bar. So there was a bar on the first floor and then a bar on the second floor. But here was their gimmick, Esmeralda. You ready for this?
Mm-hmm.
The Big Nasty, not only was it that type of bar, which was bad enough, but they supplied all of the customers with silly string so that you could shoot silly string at each other. And I think it was like $4 a can they were charging. So I don't know who did the cleanup in the bar every night, but there's hundreds of drunk white boys spraying silly string all over their faces. That's what the Big Nasty was. Silly string.
Sounds horrific.
Oh, my God. You have no idea. Here's how they describe it here. Mention the Big Nasty to any Chicagoan who went there, and they'll undoubtedly respond with two words, silly string. Yes, the air of this bachelorette frat party run amok was filled with the scent of Paco Rabanne, right said Fred, blasting at levels, and miles of silly string. Hardly safe given the plethora of videos, but that's because, you know, you can take a lighter to your silly string and just blow everybody up. Utopia for any bro within a 10-mile radius, the Big Nasty, was for recently graduated sorority girls, leering frat boys, drunk and gyrating and horny everyone. That was it, the Big Nasty. Esmeralda, if you want, there was a nightmare. It was a living nightmare. And then there was a bar across the street from the Big Nasty, Esmeralda, called Bamboo Bernie's.
Good Lord.
Bamboo Bernie's was their specialty, was the giant tropical drinks that all the dudes and bros and Trixies could share with, like, volcanoes in the middle. You know what I'm talking about? They would, like, mm-hmm. You'd have, like, 10 straws, and they were, like, you know, the alcohol level in these drinks was, like, 500%. And in Bamboo Bernie's was a volleyball court complete with sand. I'm not making this up. I swear to God, this is real. So if you wanted to cross the street to spray silly string at Trixie's and Chad's, You could do that, or you could get drunk with a bunch of morons sucking down Mai Tais and you know, in volcano cups, and then getting loaded and playing volleyball in the sand.
I feel like that sand was not the cleanest.
No, are you kidding? I'd rather play in a litter box. Real places. Those were real. That was what you'd, hey, man, let's go down to Lincoln Avenue, DePaul area. Oh, I'd rather have my brain removed. Well, you'd have to in order to enjoy that. I knew a girl that worked at Bamboo Bernie's, which is why I was there more than once. And I went to the Big Nasty twice. I was there twice. The second time was because we had to meet somebody there, and I got the hell out. I had one drink, and I was like, I'm leaving. And it was like Silly String, you can get Silly String for a quarter a can. They were charging like $4 or $5. I don't know how much money the Big Nasty made on drunk morons buying Silly String. And I swear, could you imagine being a bartender at that place?
I would hate my life.
It's like, what in God's name is happening? I can't believe they included the Big Nasty on this list. Oh, man. There was one bar on that stretch, though, Dan, that was actually cool. Low-key on Lincoln Avenue that we would go to after we did a live. No morons. It was just a neighborhood joint. And it was somehow it was not infested with the idiocy that surrounded it. And I can't – it's a one-word name. It's not The Store, because that's a different place. But it was on Lincoln Avenue, again, south of Fullerton, a little bit down off the strip. But it was the only place that you could go to, like, you know, not run into a bunch of morons and just have a beer. So I can't remember the name of it, though. Okay. What?
It wasn't the Lion, right? The Red Lion?
No. Not the Red Lion, no. I can't remember. I can't remember. Maybe somebody will know. It was the one bar that didn't suck on Lincoln in that DePaul area. All right. We got to get the weather here and traffic. Yeah, man. Good morning. How are you? Good morning, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate Studios, 7th floor of the Trib Tower. 2 for Tuesday. Yeah. G requested Brothers Johnson. That's Stomp. We are talking about things that are gone but not forgotten here in Chicago. How about Scenes and Act One Bookstore? Now, if you were an actor or in the theater world, Act One Bookstore was where you would go to get your see all the audition notices. And Scenes was where you hung out and drank coffee and talked theater. It was on Lincoln Avenue. We got a couple of texts for Dennis's Place for Games. That was at Belmont and Sheffield as well. There was also one by Lane Tech. We've been getting some texts on that, Dennis's Place for Games. Tower Records. How about Virgin Records right across the street here? Now it's a Forever 21. That used to be Virgin Records. I used to go there all the time. When I'd work on weekends, on Friday nights, to kill time between movies, I would go blow money on CDs at Virgin Records. That place was a mecca, man. Two floors. That place was awesome.
I think I saw Garbage there. Like, they were signing autographs.
Ah. Yeah, they had autograph signings there all the time. I knew a girl that worked there. She was a stage manager on a couple of plays I directed.
Oh, yeah, they had a DJ, too.
Yes, they did. Yes, it was huge. That place was
so cool.
I mean, I've not been Forever 21 because I'm not a 21-year-old girl. But have you been
15-year-old girl?
Have you been in there? And have you been in there, Esmeralda?
I perused once and then quickly walked out.
Is it huge? Like, is there a second floor and everything?
I believe there is a second floor. Yeah.
Man, that's a lot of space to put clothes in. All right, here's Cindy on WGN. Hi, Cindy.
Hi. Coming down from the Silly String, when I was a kid, we lived around Milwaukee and Noble and Cortez. And my grandparents were dead and lived, excuse me, and were buried at St. Adalbert Cemetery. So we'd go to the corner and get on the streetcar and go all the way to the end of the line, which was Milwaukee and Devon. And you'd get off, and there was a White Castle-type building called One in a Million. And you'd go in there, and you'd get a maple nut ice cream cone. And then there were florists along the way. So you'd rent a wagon, and you'd buy all these little plants in these tiny pots. And my mother would drag this wagon all the way to St. Adalbert's, and we'd go in and decorate the graves of my grandparents. Mm. And there were all kinds of mulberry trees, and you'd pick all the mulberry trees and put them in a jar and bring them back and get on the streetcar and come all the way back to Milwaukee and Noble, and you'd sit and enjoy all the mulberries.
There you go. So mulberries and ice cream in a place called One in a Million. All right. There you go. All right, real quick, let me throw some of these texts out. Woolworth's had the best slices of greasy cheese pizza. Walgreens cafeterias were good, too. They had great bacon cheeseburgers. There was a Goldblatt's deli and cookie counter. Frank says, the Prime House at 4156 North Kedzie across from the Jewels. I used to work there. Uncle Bob Collins would often come in, and I'd broil his steaks. Hannah says, I miss Cock Robin and their square ice cream scoops. We're not going to get through this again. We're not going to start this again. Scott in South Bend, of course, the Thirsty Whale. Yeah, man, the whale! We all miss the whale. Carrie says Lockwood Castle for ice cream, which sadly now is a Starbucks. Yeah, again, that's another place, Dan, we pass every single time we go to the movies. Lockwood Castle around the corner is a Starbucks, and every time we pass it, both my parents and I go, damn it, that used to be Lockwood Castle, and now it's a Starbucks. Maurice Linnell, where you can get the cookies straight from the factory. That's right. That was right on right by the Norwich Theater on Harlem. And then there was the Axel Roller Rink, which used to be the Hub. It was called the Hub Roller Rink. Let's see. There was a Western. There was a restaurant on Western and on the north side near Devon. The waitresses all wore roller skates. Yeah, that went through a lot of places, a lot of different names. There was also Tuts. 815 says Tasty Hasty. Tasty. You know where Tasty Hasty was, Dan?
Where is that?
Went walking distance to Blue Angel.
Well, there you go.
Continued down on Milwaukee. It was right. It was a hot dog place, like a drive-in hot dog place. It was great. O'Donnell's at Belmont and Pulaski. How about Chicken Unlimited, 708? And Miles, Jen Bosworth's husband, said Biddy Mulligan's used to have turtle races. Yeah! There was a place called Deja Vu. It was a 4 o'clock bar on Lincoln Avenue, right next to where Players Workshop from Second City used to be, where we took improv classes. It's on Lincoln and Wellington, I think it is. And it was Deja Vu. It was a 4 o'clock bar. And they had turtle races there. You know who used to host the turtle races?
Hey, listen.
No.
That would be great.
No. Chris Farley.
Ah.
Chris Farley hosted the turtle races at Deja Vu. He was working his way through Players Workshop in Second City at the time. So, yeah, he worked at the – he was often drunk. Very often. Well, I mean, if you're hosting turtle races, you might want to have a couple of cocktails if you're a drinker. All right, we got a break. We'll take a break. We got the news coming up, and then after the news, Esmeralda and I will play a little celebrity name game.